You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. We did not have a show Tuesday because the Dallas Community College District had its board meeting. Well, in the afternoon, all the shows were preempted, and as a result, couldn't hear the show. Today, what I want to do is look at a couple of what I would call small stories. But one, probably the most important one, is that President Trump has tweeted again. I have no problem with President Trump tweeting. He can tweet to us, how should I say it, as much as he wants. Now, what is he doing with it? He's really playing with, manipulating, going over the heads of mainstream media. I call them big lie media, and what I'm talking about is primarily the television networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, the large city newspapers such as the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times. And I don't watch them and I don't read them, with one exception. If I'm doing research on a specific story, I definitely will see what they have to say. I'm looking for different points of view. And for those that are new listeners, let me point out, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I didn't vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. My problem with both of them, I don't trust either one of them. Nor do I trust big lie media for the simple reason they definitely are biased. They have turned, unfortunately, into propaganda. So we had a news story about news fatigue. I don't think it's news fatigue, folks. I will grant you there's a lot of news out there. Every day there's a lot of news out there, especially if you go out and look for it. I think what people are getting fatigued about is propaganda. And I don't care where in the spectrum it comes, whether it's Democrat, Republican, liberal, progressive, communist, or for that matter, right-wing propaganda. Now, for those that are not clear, and I always have to make this distinction, you can't assume this, this is a commentary show, a talk show. And first of all, it's very much biased. I pick the 1, 2, 3, 4 news stories that I'm interested in. Every day, there's thousands of stories worldwide. But with the web, what are people doing? And this is important. And this is why newspapers, they're as a business, most of them have gone out of business. And I think even the largest ones, if they don't have a sugar daddy in terms of a billionaire paying the bills, would go out of business. And the reason is this. Just like I have to come up with the stories I want to talk about, people have access to the web and are going to search for information on subjects that they're interested in. Let me give you a real small example. For a long time, I've been meaning to learn to play a musical instrument. It's sort of on my bucket list. Now, when I was a child, my parents paid for accordion lessons. And when I was in not high school, but junior high school, I did play the drums, both snare and bass drums. I did have an interest in music, but I did research. And I said, what's the potential career in music? Now, this is the beginning of rock and roll, but I said, it's slim and none. because the competition is terrifically tough to play in an orchestra. And I had no interest in forming a rock and roll band. So I immediately, after doing the research, said there's, even if I pursued it and made it a goal, what are my chances of earning a living? And the answer is zero, close to zero. So I gave it up. I know I have a cousin, though, that had some skill in it and did not give it up. I don't know where he's at now, but I know for a period of time he played piano in various New York bars, saloons, whatever you want to call them. That was not my cup of tea. So I always say, do your research. And I did my research. I didn't change my conclusion, but now I'm interested in playing a musical instrument, namely the piano. And I've started to pursue that. Is it going to be a career? Absolutely not. This is simply for my enjoyment, entertainment, and I may or may not pursue it. This is just to get a taste to see, do I still have that aptitude or interest? And it is, especially if you're a beginner, somewhat challenging. But I was interested in seeing, because I don't have a piano at home and don't plan to buy one, what could I do? So I did research into it. And there's plenty of information online, as well as you can go to YouTube and listen to videos. Now, I'm relating this story because every individual is different. Every individual has different interests. Some people are sports fans. So they follow their, if they live in a big city such as Dallas, they follow the Dallas Cowboys, for example. Other people are not interested in sports. I'm not interested in sports. Now, when I was a kid, I was. I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan. I'm really dating myself. But I no longer watch professional football, basketball, baseball, hockey, you name it. There are other people that are avid fans. Now, prior to the decline of readership on newspapers, as well as on television news, you could buy a newspaper. Did you read the entire paper from front to back? No, very few people did that. Very few people have the time. They would open it up to the sections they were interested in. I was in the financial area. So, yeah, I was interested in stories about what was happening in the business world and in Wall Street. What I'm trying to say is people's interests are narrow. They're specialized. And they're going to search out articles from around the world, not in any specific publication. And that's the challenge. That is the challenge for news today. But what's happened, and it's really happened, I would say, for many years now, but it's noticeable for the last, oh, I would say 18 years at least, some would say since 1980, to the extent that news is still on, it has turned into propaganda. The network news shows, as well as the papers, are clearly left of center. Some would characterize that as liberal. I would characterize it today as being progressive, especially because they're, for all I can see, it's a propaganda organization for the Democratic Party and its candidates. So that was one reason of many reasons. I stopped watching television news many, many years ago. I'd say at least 20 or 30. Now, when I'm in the newsroom, I will turn on Fox. Occasionally CNN is on. I'll watch it. But I get frustrated with today, for example. What's his name? Shepard Smith. I was listening to him, and because I'm knowledgeable of what's happened, I said, he doesn't know what he's talking about. And I shut him down. I lowered the volume. Now, he does have an anti-Trump bias, but that's not why I was critical of him. But I'm using this simply as an example. I have found many of the people that are so-called news reporters, journalists, they're not up on the subject. I think I gave a show on, well, last show was on the unemployment report. I would think if you're going to be on television, and there's some excellent people on television that do cover that, but the people I fault is if the jobs report is in the news, and it was in the news in Friday when it came out, you do a little digging. Understand what's going on here. You seldom see that. Only if you have a person that specializes in that subject are you going to get, in my mind, what I would call meaningful analysis and discussion. What I'm leading up to is I think the people are fatigued, not on news, because they can find the news that they're interested in. What they're fatigued on is propaganda. And a lot of it, unfortunately, is progressive propaganda. And why they're fatigued is they simply don't have the time to figure out what's true and what's false. If you want to look at big lies, look at propaganda. It's not a new technique. And that's what's fatiguing. trying to sort out the truth that supposedly is a newscast, and it isn't. It's propaganda. Now, sometimes they tell the truth. As a matter of fact, that's a tactic. To get credibility, at least part of the story is true. But it's the slant, the bias, and what's subtle about it is what they are not covering. Because a lot of the problem I have is they're not covering certain stories, and they're certainly not making the connections. It's a dual problem. You can cover a story, but not make any connections to it. That's rather superficial. But the biggest problem people have is you turn on the news, you hear nothing about it. Now, somewhat balancing this is people listen to the radio, especially when they're going to work and coming home from work, and they tune in talk radio. Oh, yeah, talk radio is very much to the right in the extent that it's largely conservative, a little bit libertarian, and people listen to it, and people call in. I have done that many, many years ago. I don't do it at now at all. I simply don't have the time or interest in doing that. And it's popular. And the only reason we have a vigorous talk radio today is the fact that the fairness doctrine was repealed. And that enabled, for example, Rush Limbaugh and others to have a 2 or 3 hour talk radio show and give their opinion. Prior to that, you had to have so-called balanced news. Newscasts stayed away from opinion because they didn't want to have to give airtime to, it doesn't matter whether it's a Republican, a Democrat, a liberal, or a conservative, they simply would not give the airtime. And that's what's really changed when that fairness doctrine was repealed. And I'm all for that, by the way. There is an effort on the left today to bring it back. It's not going to go anywhere. But they're still trying. They never give up. I think what frustrates people today is if you're searching for news and you go to the major networks or the newspapers, some of the stories it's strictly reporting. That's what people want. Just the facts, ma'am. I don't want to hear your opinion. I don't want to be able to tell. You shouldn't be able to tell whether the person reporting it is a Democrat, Republican, a liberal, progressive, communist, conservative, classical, liberal, American liberal, whatever. But what you have on many of these stations, it's a mix, and it confuses people. And you have people that are known to have a bias. They work for former presidents or in former administrations. And they're the so-called contributors. You see, I think there should be a strict separation between news and commentary. But there isn't. They're mixed together today. I don't think it should be. Now, some try to make it straight news. But the anchors, and that's where the problem lies, the anchors, it's clear what their bias is, or it will become clear over time. So I don't think there is news fatigue. Now, this survey is by Pew Research Center, and what they're concluding is the majority of Americans, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, or independents, are fatigued by the news, more so Republicans and independents, independents leading Republicans. I think that's about 77%. Well, that's a majority, folks. And in Democrats, it's about 68%. So that's a clear majority on both left and right of center, both Democrats and Republicans. So it's not a phenomenon just of someone that's either conservative or classical liberal, or for that matter, progressive or a liberal. It's a general situation. Now, I'm not challenging the poll, but I think what you should ask is how do people get their news today? Who do they listen to? For example, I have to prepare a show, a talk show. Now, I usually start out, but I want to emphasize this. I start out going to the Drudge Report. He has a number of stories. But I want to emphasize that's just the starting point. I'll see what Drudge has on his page. Does that mean I'm definitely going to be covering any of his stories? No. I probably will pick one or two. But many of them, I'm just not interested in. It gets back to people's interests are different. And Drudge is going to have a wide variety of stories. And I would say 80% I'm simply not interested in. Now, occasionally, the headline will pique my interest and I'll click on it. And that's what you need to understand. These are just simply links to news stories. He usually has the top breaking stories. That's why I would say 1, 2, 3. Maybe even 4. Not only does he have, but so do the what I call big lie media. It's also the talk of talk radio shows. But it always gets back to the point people will, whether they go to the Drudge Report or somewhere else, they're going to be selective. You see, and I'm all for that. I'm for competition. I am for having a wide range of stories being covered. Sometimes it's a entertainment story or sports story or, for example, there's a story that I have not even mentioned. I'm going to mention it now. And on occasion, I've covered natural disasters. What I'm talking about, we've had two eruptions of volcanoes. The most deadly has been in Guatemala. But we also, and we haven't seen it that much on it, that many people were killed there. Last time I heard, over 60, and it's probably going to rise. But every day, because I'm in a newsroom, doesn't matter, it's CNN or Fox, and I saw one this afternoon about the erupting volcano in Hawaii, and the lava flows now have reached the sea, and now hundreds of homes have now been destroyed. It's also very dangerous. If you breathe some of that, it could kill you instantly. So you don't want to get too close. I haven't covered that. Doesn't mean tomorrow I might not. If the whole thing blows up and people are killed, you better believe I'll cover that. When human life, where the people are injured, and people have had to be rescued, there have been some injuries, but no one, to my knowledge, has lost their life. They have time to flee. I haven't seen that much on the volcano erupting. I understand it's still erupting in Guatemala, and I haven't covered it. What I do every day is what people do every day. With the World Wide Web, you select those stories that are of interest to you. For example, if you listen to the show, you know, and I've highlighted this many times, wait until the Department of Justice Inspector General report comes out. And once that report is out, Attorney General Sessions better appoint a special counsel to investigate many of the things that will be in the IG report. Because people in the Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the White House under Obama, the CIA, National Security Agency, even in the Department of State, committed criminal acts. And what people are now, especially if you were involved in that, are concerned is, what does that IG report have? You know, I've been patient. First I heard it was going to be March, then April, then May, and along the way that it was expanded to look into the investigation of the Hillary Clinton email server and her handling of classified information. I truly believe what I call the Clinton-Obama-Democrat criminal conspiracy is the scandal in U.S. history. If you watch the networks, they're not putting that puzzle together for you. Occasionally, you'll get stories as information is leaked. And let me make clear, if you leak classified information, that is a serious felony. And people are doing that and have done it. It's a problem with all administrations. But yesterday, President Trump tweeted, and I'll read it to you, "What is taking so long with the Inspector General's report on crooked Hillary and slippery James Comey? Numerous delays. Hope report is not being changed and made weaker. There are also many horrible things to tell. The public has the right to know. Transparency." Well, it is a tweet. You got to be short. He's not going to give you an essay. He's certainly not going to give you a talk show. But I feel the same way. What's taking so long, Attorney General Sessions? And I think he's on to something. You see, the procedure is, you have departments, and each department has their inspector general. And he looks into things like, is the organization following the procedures, the rules, the regulations, the procedures, the protocol in place, as well as, have they broken any federal law? And many times where you see this happening is when there's a change of command. In other words, you have a new FBI director or a new attorney general. So, or if you're in the military, and this happened when I was there, I came into a new position, first time in the military on active duty. And I would say within a year of being there, the commanding officer that, I'm talking the F-15 system program officer, SPO, was reassigned. People move around. So the inspector general, the Air Force inspector general, came in and looked at things. Now I was brand new. But that's typical. You want to make sure any organization is doing a job according to the rules, the regulations, and they're not breaking any laws. And you had an inspector general examining investigations as well as activities in the FBI and in the Department of Justice, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for his report. Now, once he has finished the draft, and the draft is finished, several weeks ago. The people that are in that report, mentioned in that report, have an opportunity to read it, if not the whole report, at least the sections where pertaining to them, and if they have problems with it or additional information, to speak up. And they do that. Nothing wrong with that. You forgot to mention 1, 2, 3, 4. You don't have the complete story here. I have no problem with that. And I think that's where we're at right now. But I think President Trump has a legitimate concern. Are they trying to rewrite it to not disclose information that the draft has? So I've been patient. President Trump's been patient. A lot of people have been patient, saying, okay, let's let the Department of Justice, Inspector General, and this is a big organization, several hundred people, over 500 people. It's not one person. Now, the gentleman is Michael Horowitz, an Obama appointee, but everything I hear, although I always take it with a grain of salt, he's a straight shooter. He calls it the way he sees it. And there, he's already made some criminal referrals, namely the deputy director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe. And there might be more. But the American people deserve to see it. And that should be transmitted and released, transmitted to Congress and released by Congress. We should know the details. It's too important. So as much as I've been pressuring, as have other people, that Attorney General Sessions appoint a special counsel, I said, okay, I can see where you would want to wait to get that report. And then based on this report, the congressional report, appoint a special counsel to look into what I consider the cover-up of the fact that the FBI exonerated Hillary Clinton of the mishandling of classified information, as well as destruction of government documents and obstruction of justice by destroying records, documents that were under subpoena from Congress. Both that original investigation and the people involved in it, they need to be totally aired. What they did right, what they did wrong, were they biased? The only way the reputation of the FBI and the Department of Justice will be restored is not by this Inspector General report. Because keep in mind, the problem with the Inspector General, there's two big problems. One, he can't prosecute anybody. Point one. Point two, if the person has left the organization, such as former FBI Director James Comey, former Deputy Director of the FBI Andrew McCabe, and others, they have left, you can't question them. He couldn't question them unless he got there prior to them their leaving. That's why you need a special counsel, one that can impanel a grand jury and call witnesses and question them, both whether they're still in government or not. And that's rather important. So I agree with President Trump. I'm actually more impatient. Now, President Trump has been rather critical of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. I'm a great admirer and have a lot of respect for Jeff Sessions, but I'm not happy with his performance as Attorney General. Am I recommending he fire Jeff Sessions? No, I'm not. But if Jeff Sessions doesn't do the right thing and appoint a special counsel, and I'll discuss that in a minute, then I think it is time that he replace him. I know Trump doesn't particularly want to do it, but he's totally frustrated. And that was the point I've made over and over again. Get the let out, Attorney General Sessions. Because the American people, I don't have any faith today in the FBI or the Department of Justice. I think they're biased, they're partisan. If they came to my door, I'd say, I'm not answering any questions, period. Till I have my lawyer here, and he's going to tell me, don't answer any questions. I have nothing to hide. I'm just saying, as a matter of good practice, an attorney will say, if they come to your door, don't talk to them until you have me, your attorney, there. Now, I know Trump wants to talk to Mueller. I think that's somewhat gamesmanship, because most lawyers, I'd say 99%, say, Mr. President, it's a trap to set you up for perjury, for lying to him. And without going into all the details, as far as I'm concerned, Mueller should never have been appointed special counsel. And I emphasize this because I'm not a fan of special counsel because they tend to get out of control. Doesn't matter whether it's appointed by a Democrat or Republican. But this one, and this is another thing that needs to be revealed, and President Trump has all he has to do is declassify it, we should see the FISA application. FISA stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. It primarily deals with foreign nationals that are engaged in espionage in the United States. Now, they can and do contact U.S. citizens. Doesn't mean the U.S. citizen has done anything wrong. People can call you up. There's nothing illegal, for example, with talking to Russians. Now, if they try to recruit you, I think you have an obligation to make that known, in this case, to the FBI. So, most of what FISA deals with is spying by foreign nationals, and what has to happen is the Department of Justice, together with the FBI, makes an application to the court to surveil Russians. Doesn't have to be Russians, but I'm saying foreign nationals. What's been going on, though, they've been spying on American citizens, primarily Donald Trump, his campaign, and people involved in it. And the only way they could get that warrant is admitting the fact that the justification for it was, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, it was paid for by the Clinton campaign and the Democratic Party. You see why I don't trust the FBI and the Department of Justice anymore? That small little fact. Is it a material fact? Yes. You see, whoever filled out that application and then the people that signed off on the renewal were misleading the FISA court. The FISA court failed. But the bigger failure was the people that did this were deliberately, intentionally misleading the court by not disclosing material information. And that was material. That needs to be investigated. It's not just the Hillary investigation. It's this misuse of the FISA court to spy on American people. And that's what happened. That's the scandal. And then what did they do? Once they got it approved, oh, they surveilled foreign nationals and people in the campaign. And normally, if you're a consumer of intelligence, you'll get a report that'll tell you the name of the foreign national, but it'll also say they're supposed to protect U.S. citizens, the identity. It's supposed to be what's called mask. It'll say U.S. citizen one, U.S. citizen two. There was unmasking, a lot of unmasking, by people in the White House, Susan Rice, the UN ambassador, Samantha Power, and others. It was a conspiracy, folks. Barack Obama ordered this. There's another way. You don't have to go to the FISA court. You can use national security letters. People forget about that, or misuse them in this case. So the involvement, some call it the deep state. I like to say it's just the bureaucracy, folks. There are many people in high positions in the White House, Department of Justice, the FBI, the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, that broke the law by using government resources, namely the intelligence community, consists of 16 agencies, to spy on the American people for political reasons. The motivation here was to spy for political reasons. That's a bright line that no political party, Democrat, Republican, or any other party should use. This is what police states use. They use outfits like the FBI to spy on their political opponents. Now, a lot of people today are saying, well, the FBI was spying on the Trump campaign, but that was to protect the Trump campaign. Excuse me, that's nonsense. If you wanted to, if that's what you were about, you should have contacted the Trump campaign and alert them. By the way, the Russians are interfering in the election or trying to recruit your people. Did they do that? No, though. No, they didn't. Were they spying on the Democratic Party? No, they were not doing it. Now, I kept scratching my head because I said, you know, this is a rather stupid thing to do. You know, I'm not impressed with these people's resumes and, let us say, wisdom. So I thought about it and thought about it, and I've given shows on it. I'm not going to repeat the shows. You know, but the first thing they had to do is they had to get Hillary Clinton out from under an FBI investigation. That's what James Comey did in early July. But they had another problem. The Russians, and I think several nations, and there's very little proof of this, but people that deal with organizations, networks being hacked know this. You better have security, or you're going to have, if not intelligence service, your competition, or just kids having fun breaking into your network. And once it became widely known, and that's in 2015, what happened is the Benghazi, the Select Committee Committee on Benghazi investigating the events leading up to, as well as what happened in Libya, Benghazi, as well as after, had a number of emails that they noticed were not coming from the state.gov email accounts, like most of the other emails. And that's when they first learned that Hillary Clinton was not using a Department of State email account or a server, but had her own set up. Once that became known, you better believe the foreign intelligence services of a number of countries, both friend and foe, they were trying to hack into her server, and expert opinion is they did. Now, why is that a problem? I assumed it was the Russians, as well as the communist Chinese, probably the United Kingdom, Israel, and other nations. The Russians had virtually or all of her emails. So they had information that was at minimum embarrassing, but I really think more than embarrassing. She was receiving and sending classified information. That's a crime, folks. And if you have evidence of that, that's material you can use to blackmail people. And they thought, like Democrats, many Republicans, and some independents, that Hillary Clinton was going to be the first woman president. So the concern was the Russians could help Donald Trump win the election by, at the very last minute, provide him some of those emails. And it would damage your campaign, especially if it was done late October, early November. It never happened, folks. It never happened. But if you want to know the rationale why they were spying on the Trump campaign, they were afraid of the Russians blowing the whistle by giving information to Donald Trump. As Donald Trump said, "I didn't collude with the Russians," and there's been no proof at all. You see, the Mueller investigation, from what I can tell, was not a criminal investigation. It was what's called a counterintelligence investigation. And let me give you a little information. Most of what the FBI does is investigate activity that could be criminal, and that's the vast majority. But they also have responsibility for what? They also have responsibility for counter-espionage. In other words, stopping the efforts of countries like Russia to spy on our country, military, weapon systems, whatever, and recruit people. And they should be doing it. What they shouldn't be doing is spying on their opponents, political opponents' campaign. There was no justification to do that. That's why President Trump should declassify and release the FISA warrants. Because then, with the exception of sources and methods, the standard excuse is, well, it's a matter of national security and we can't release sources and messages. That's the game the bureaucracy plays. Redacted means it's blocked out. Blacked out. If it's not blacked out, you see, had nothing to do with it. But that's one of the ways they delay and delay and delay, and the American people are sick of it. Donald Trump at any time can declassify it, and he should. So the American people learn what they were doing. They were spying on American people. Donald Trump, people in his campaign, people involved in his campaign. And they had no grounds to do it. They deliberately misled who? The FISA court. So Donald Trump is getting impatient. A lot of people are impatient. Now, I got a signal. I got to wrap it up. But I really have about another 5 minutes. Investigative journalism is not dead. And that's what the American people want. Good investigative journalism. The problem is, who's going to pay for it? And you better believe that is a problem. People have to earn a living, and it can be dangerous. And we've had some excellent investigative journalists. Probably one of the most noted has been Seymour Hersh. But there have been others, Woodward and Bernstein in the Nixon situation, Watergate. But because we have fewer and fewer papers, what do you think gets cut? The investigative journalists. Because usually they have to spend a lot of time investigating, getting the information out. If you ask me what's missing today, we should have competition in investigative journalism. We have a little of it, but it's not that much. You know, my complaint is this is the biggest political scandal around, and very little of it is really mentioned, and they certainly are not connecting the dots. Because who would be damaged here? Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Democratic Party. Journalism is not dead. Investigative journalism is not dead, but it is shrinking. And that's sad, but they did it to themselves. And you have to roll with the punches as technology changes. More and more news is specialized, and you're catering to a particular audience. And you got to monetize it. How do you get paid? I don't have time to go into the many, let's say, achievements of Cy Hirsch. He has a new book out called Reporter, a memoir. I do have an article that I recommend you read. I included it here because that is what I feel is missing. We don't have competing investigative journalists trying to put this whole story, what President Trump calls Spygate, together. We need that because independent research will come up with details that someone else doesn't have. You know, I was kidding myself. I'm not going to do it. But there's a Pulitzer Prize and a book and probably several books on this because it's too complicated in terms of a simple news story. You can get updates. And the best on this has been the Sean Hannity's show. He has investigative journalists on. And that's the one place to look, especially on this story. But he sort of beats it to death. That's what's frustrating about it, both on radio and television. You need to become knowledgeable. What's killing the United States is ignorance. And we have reporters just simply not curious. They don't have a general knowledge that they should have. So I'm sure once the Inspector General report is out, we're going to see more investigative journalism on this. Now, I didn't have time to get into the last story about trade. A number of people have made the point, I've made the point, is why Donald Trump is trying to negotiate better trade deals. He could have, it hasn't happened yet, but could have. I shouldn't say that. I think it has happened. To the extent you follow protectionist policies, you could have an impact on the real growth of the economy as well as jobs. So I'm going to follow trade closely. Because, for example, Mexico has put a tariff in retaliation for what Trump did on pork. That is definitely impacting the pork industry. You better believe it. A lot of them are trying to sell it as fast as they have because a big customer for pork was Mexico. This is illustrating a point. You got to be careful with trade negotiations because businesses have relationships, established relationships. They have supply chains. And to the extent you interfere with this, you're interfering with businesses. That's why, as a general rule, I'm against government intervention, especially in trade. You don't need any trade agreements to have free trade, Mr. Trump. I think you've been told that a couple of times. Trump is right on where you have a nation such as communist China taking advantage of us. There is where you need to educate the American people and go after them. I have to wrap it up. Thank you very much. And now my favorite song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.